there's a lot of time spent packaging, converting, switching things over, when realistically, if you remove that downed firefighter or that injured firefighter from the IDLH environment, most of the problems are already corrected.
This is Code 3, the Firefighters Podcast, hosted by award-winning journalist Scott Orr. Now, here's Scott.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Thank you for joining me today for another edition of Code 3. This is the show that gives you all the information on a firefighting topic you need in about 20 minutes. Let's get started. Every firefighter who rides an engine has a favorite tool, the Halligan bar. As nearly all young firefighters learn, it was invented in 1948 by an FDNY deputy chief named Hugh Halligan. Not long after that, he created the Halligan hook. Sometimes it's called a New York roof hook. This 6-foot bar is a favorite of truckies who need to open up a roof for ventilation. But there's another way to use a Halligan hook, as a rescue tool. It takes a little creativity to see a bar meant for ripping open a roof as a way to save a firefighter's life, but today's guest is here to explain how to do it. A.B. Turin is the captain of training and safety with the career department in Middlesex County, Connecticut. He's got 25 years on the job and is a certified level 3 fire service instructor. And A.B. Turin joins me now. Welcome to Code 3.
Good evening, Scott. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's good to have you. Today we're talking about the Halligan hook as opposed to the Halligan bar. Every truckie's favorite weapon, the Halligan hook is used for opening things up for ventilation. But you recently wrote an article that appeared on fireengineering.com about using the Halligan hook for RIT operations. So you've got a 6-foot forcible entry tool, but you also have a RIT team tool.
The amount of uses is astronomical, what you can really do when you think outside the box. You know, that's the nicest thing about meeting firefighters from across the country, whether it's East Coast, West Coast, volunteer, career. Everyone has a different adaptation to a tool or a tactic based off of their either geographical area or based off their staffing needs. Over time, networking and training with other firefighters, that's where I came up with the concept for the article, the Halligan hook from the roof to RIT. It's predominantly seen as a truck company tool for ventilation, opening up a roof and so forth, but there's so many things that you can utilize it for off the roof and outside of truck company operations. You're starting to see a lot more and more around here. You're referring to in the fire service is a set of irons, which is typically a flathead axe and a Halligan bar married together. You're seeing a lot of people accompany the Halligan hook and the Halligan bar.
Right.
One nice thing that I was actually grateful to be able to be given the opportunity for that article, because how it's written with the introduction part was a little bit of a brief history of the Halligan hook. And that's actually something that I learned from a lecture a few years ago. And I was fortunate enough to meet RJ, Robert James, from Frederick County, Maryland. He's Capital Fire Training. And he actually gave me the brief history on the Halligan hook, which most people, regardless, again, where you're from, they call it a New York roof hook or a 6-foot roof hook. Yes, it's a hook. Yes, it's 6 feet in length. And yes, it's used on the roof. But it was actually designed and developed by the same deputy fire chief of FDNY, Hugh Halligan, who created what we all know as the Halligan bar.
All right. So you have 4 ways this tool can be used to help a downed firefighter. Let's talk about them. The first one is to use them to make a litter. How does that work?
So the reason I like to stress and emphasize on that specific function or tactic is because if you look at statistics, Project Mayday actually does a phenomenal job getting research and then statistics and data out there to fire service members. And it actually shows that there's a large number of firefighters that either, you know, whether distress, disoriented or whatever, they call it Mayday, they declare that Mayday, that they're actually rescued from their own crew members, or the adjacent crew from the next compartment over. So if it's like the truck guy is doing a primary search, somebody gets jammed up, and the engine guys are on the next compartment over on a hand line, they help them out, or vice versa. Or it's your own guys on your crew. And the reason I think it's important to learn aspects such as the litter carry with the hook is because you can get your partner or your firefighter out in an efficient and effective manner just by picking them up and moving. You see, and I'll never critique or criticize the methods taught, because I think there's a thousand ways to skin a cat. And the more methods that you know, the better off you're going to be, because you got to have that backup plan to the backup plan to the backup plan. But a lot of things that I see throughout with training with RIT or FEST, depending on where you live, is that there's a lot of time spent packaging, converting, switching things over, when realistically, if you remove that downed firefighter or that injured firefighter from the IDLH environment, most of the problems are already corrected. So with this litter mechanism, it's down and dirty, it's quick, it's efficient, you pick them up and you go. And then if you need to stop in a different hallway or compartment or what, so bring them down a level, at least then and there you can start to prioritize other aspects of what's going on. But the biggest thing is getting them out of that environment to make it more habitable for them, and to make it so you have an environment more conducive to you being able to do your job function. So having the 2 6-foot Halligan hooks, you utilize those in conjunction with the harness from the SCBA that the downed firefighter is wearing. So the first thing that we preach that you do is obviously you're going to do a quick assessment, make sure that are they conscious or not, are they breathing or not, how's the air supply. But once all that is corrected or identified, creating this litter is by simply utilizing one on the left side and one on the right side. So feeding it in from the shoulders down towards the lower extremities, you get the pry bar end or the beveled end of the Halligan hook. You feed it in from the shoulder strap and out, and then you come in and you weave it back in through the waist strap. And then on the end where it comes down, you simply lift his or her leg up and over. And then when you do the same thing on the opposing side, you've now created what most refer to as like a soft litter or a portable litter, which is typically canvas with two wooden poles and so forth. You're utilizing their air pack, frame, harness, and you're utilizing the hooks to create that litter. And you and another firefighter can pick him or her up. You can carry them over obstacles. You can carry them over void spaces, up or down stairs, but you can hit a large area of real estate in a short amount of time, rather than trying to, get down to the same level, throwing their legs over your shoulders and pushing and driving, pushing and driving. You're exerting yourself. You're covering a short distance in a long period of time. With this, if the conditions warrant it, you can pick them up and move them. It's not the end all be all, and it's not the only way, but it's one way that I really like to stress and emphasize to teach out there. And I mentioned earlier regarding self-rescue, meaning from your own crew or yourself. If you look at the statistics, just shy of 14% of the maydays that are declared, those guys or gals are rescued from their own actual crews. Roughly the same amount of number, about 13.5%, 14%, are also rescued from other crews operating in the area. So having that skill set and having those tools accessible and learning different ways to utilize them, those are the guys that are part of that 14% or 13.5% that are making the difference. The RIT team is still on the outside, sizing up the building, softening the building, laddering the building, and so forth. Oftentimes they're not even needed to that extent because firefighters are being trained to utilize these tools in many different fashions.
Well, before we go any further, I suppose it's worth mentioning that you need to train on these techniques before there's a fire.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be on a real-world fireground trying out this idea.
The fire ground is not the time and place to see what your skill set is with a particular tool or tactic. Unfortunately, in the training environment, due to codes and standards, regulations, even other hindrances for training like finances, you may not be able to create that real-world exposure and experience, but you have to make it as realistic as possible with all the elements involved. And you have to figure it out then and there. So if there's a strength or a weakness or a fault, you have to identify it in advance, correct it. And that way, when you move forward, in the event you're on a call for service and it warrants a response for RIT or FAST, you're going to be proficient. You're going to be, having a significant impact on the outcome for that firefighter.
Then you suggest using the tool as a horizontal anchor point. Can you describe how to do that?
So the biggest reason for that, you're working in conjunction for suppression efforts in either hotels or apartment complexes. You have long hallways, long corridors, where again, it's a large area of real estate that you need to cover. So coming up with a different means of doing it where it's less labor intensive, or you can move them at a farther, faster pace by positioning the hook in a doorway horizontal on the floor, it's now a solid anchor point. It's not going to be removed by any means. You position a firefighter in that doorway on the opposing side, feet firm to the frame, and he or she now can start pulling and hauling while the other firefighters on the end with the downed firefighter are assessing them, pushing them, driving them, moving obstacles out of the way. And it's a very, very simple means that, it's something that needs to be practiced and prepared for. It's something that you do have to have particular equipment staged in advance. But you could do this simply with 11 millimeter or half inch cremantle rope, a simple butterfly knot or a figure eight knot, and a carabiner. And what you do is you secure or connect a single pulley to the top of the shoulder straps of the SCBA. You could do it with a piece of tubular webbing. You could do it with a piece of prusik cord. You can even just capture with an oversized carabiner the straps and hook the pulley in, but you have that simple mechanical means. And then you feed the line through, and the terminal end that's got the butterfly or that figure eight comes all the way back, and that connects to that bar, that anchor point. So when the halogen hook is there as an anchor point, it's secured. You're now pulling and driving in conjunction with each other, and you're taking some of that weight off that crew that's driving and pushing them to that means of egress down that hallway, down that corridor. This is something that can be utilized in large office space settings, commercial properties, warehouses, some place where there is just an open path of travel and you got to get him or her from point A to point B in rapid means. You can pre-rig these where you have the oversized carabiner, the piece of tubular webbing already tied with a water knot, already hooked up to this bag, and all you got to do is secure the anchor, clip it in, and then you run down, find the downed firefighter, hook it into their SCBA, and then you start dragging them out. You can go as far as you take a Gemtor harness or any of the ladder belts out of service, cut it free, keep that oversized carabiner, and utilize that as the mechanical advantage. So, with a limited visibility environment from the fire, limited dexterity from a gloved hand, those are easy to manipulate and capture the air pack and use that as a simple mechanical advantage to start hauling them with that line.
Okay. The third technique is a little more complicated and needs to be used only in certain conditions. It's a way to lift a firefighter who falls through a floor.
So we've seen time and time again a lot of different avenues and approaches. You're dropping hand lines down there and having them, if they're able to, they're ambulatory, they're alert, they can step in, secure themselves. There's so many different avenues that you can do when you have to lift someone from below grade. The biggest concern, though, is if the integrity of the construction's already been compromised by fire, heat, or whatever, where they fell through, what's going to happen, though, when you now have a crew there trying to pull him and her out? A very simple way is putting a ladder down into the opening, creating a staircase for them, or you can access them a little bit faster and easier. You might be, able to disperse the weight more because, again, it's already compromised the integrity of the structure. But if it's not compromised, you can easily lay the halogen hook across the opening on the floor as you would in the same manner in the doorway and use that terminal end and a carabiner and connect it to the bar. And then the mechanical advantage or that system that you typically would use to haul them down a hallway, you would use as an assistance to haul them up and out. That's something that definitely takes practice. That's something that you definitely have to maintain situational awareness with. And you definitely have to be very, very confident in your skill set with understanding building construction and fire behavior because you've already got one person that dropped below grade. If you're not attentive enough, you could potentially lose the entire crew down there. It's that is probably more or less a last case scenario, but it is another means that you could utilize the Halligan hook for.
All right, and finally, you describe a means of getting a firefighter up to and through a window in a typical house fire.
So this is another avenue that, again, when it's either your own crew or the adjacent crew, and you located that downed firefighter, you were able to quickly assess them, and it could be just as simple as, they're injured and they can't get out, or they're disoriented, can't find their means of egress, but they're having an issue where they cannot get up and over a windowsill. So utilizing 11 mil rope or a bailout system that you already keep on your person and two carabiners, with a few different wraps and a few connection points, you can actually utilize the 6-foot Halligan hook as a means to lift him or her up and over a sill. So you have the assistance of that mechanical advantage. You work in conjunction with a partner and you can lift him or her up. So the first thing you'd want to do, obviously, is you approach them, silence their past alarm, let command or the RIT officer know you've located them, do a quick assessment, ensure their air quality is good. But then from there, you can start setting it up with the tools you already have. You have that hook because you're out there either, doing inspection holes, or you're out there doing a primary, whatever. That's the tool of your choice. You have it, and you're already equipped with a bailout kit because your department's very proactive and you guys want to make sure that you have the means to rescue yourself. And you simply, I mean, it's probably more difficult to describe if you do get an opportunity, AB Terrain, fire engineering, the Halligan hook. From the roof to RIT. It's illustrated in photos with the actual verbiage. But simply, you're capturing the 11 millimeter rope to the top portion and you're feeding it down. You're going to capture the working end with a carabiner and you're going to hook that into his or her harness after you've converted it so it doesn't become loose on them. And then adding in that next mechanical advantage, you're using it and you're pulling down, you're falling down. They're going up. It just gives you that little bit of leverage and edge to pick them up over that sill. The sill could be 3 feet off the floor or so forth, depending on where you live, what the code is, time frame the house was built. But it's enough to get them up and over to get them out to a ladder, to get them out to a firefighter that's on a stick or whatever to help get him or her out of the IDLH environment.
And we'll put a link to that article on our website at Code 3 Podcast. Yeah, the photos are very useful.
That particular method, again, like you stated earlier, that's not the time to figure it out. That's something that you need to become proficient with and practice. But in a limited visibility environment with limited dexterity and just that limited amount of hardware and equipment, it's very, very easy to create and implement in a matter of seconds if you become proficient with it. With any skill set that we do, you have to be proficient, and that's how we'll become good at our job.
All right, let's switch tracks for a moment here. You have a book coming out soon titled Coffee Table Quick Tips. What do you cover in that book?
So it was actually something that started off. I was promoted in the department I work for in Middletown, Connecticut. I'm the captain of training and safety with the South Fire District. And the first week that I took the position, I started implementing this thing I called the Coffee Table Quick Tip. And all it is a it's a one-page document every week on Monday that I'll generate, and I fire it off to all the company officers, and then I post it outside the training office. And it's a way for the company officers to gather the guys and gals on shift, start a shift, you're sipping, having coffee, you're catching up, and you're all around the table and you're focusing on the job, you're focusing on family. That one page will cover a quick tip that they can keep in the back of their mind. And they're on a call for service 3, 4 weeks down the road, something comes up, that pops up in their brain, they're able to mitigate it. It's those things that you've learned through the years from your senior men and the seasoned guys that has helped you to be successful. It's me passing that knowledge on. There's various tips from reading smoke, forcible entry, extrication techniques. The list goes on and on. 25 years of other firefighters and officers influencing me and teaching me. It's my way of ensuring that their legacy and their efforts continue to move on and move on and move on. So after about 24, 25 weeks of doing this, we had an outside agency that was in here and they were doing a training and they were talking about meth labs, clandestine homes. And I happened to interrupt and said, our coffee table quick tip this week was you figuring out telltale signs when you approach a scene, the potential for it being a drug lab, things you look for on the outside of the home doing your size up. And to him, it was brilliant. To me, as I said, well, I don't know, this is just something that I've learned along the way. I'm just sharing it with my guys. So he asked if he could use it for another class. I said, absolutely. I'll give you a PDF and I'll burn you off a copy. So in conversation, he asked, do you compile these? So, well, every week I burn off a copy. They're in a binder as a reference point. And he said, this would be a great compilation. Well, that sat in my mind for about a week or two, and I just couldn't get rid of it. So I started researching and networking, meeting the right people. And I was fortunate enough to get lined up with the Covenant Publishing Company, who is a Christian-based company out of Carolina, who works in conjunction with the Ingram Group. And I approached them, submitted a manuscript. Instead of doing a chapter book, there's 52 weeks in a year. I did 52 coffee table quick tips. It's that way a company officer every week with their shift can either generate the conversation around the table and hopefully it branches off and turns into some training. But if not, at least it covers a topic area that people can either refresh themselves on or learn something from. So right after Christmas break, they reached back out. They love the idea. They don't typically work with fire service and they don't typically do training type manuals. But they love the concept. They believe in it. So we started working together on that. I just got out of the first round of editing. And then I believe in about a week and a half, we're going to start the process for design, page design, just the layout of font style, font size. But the goal is for every chapter to be one single page. That way they can utilize one page from it every week for the year. The goal is to have it for sale in October of this year. It'll be sold exclusively at Barnes and Noble, as well as available on Amazon for purchase. Very excited about it. And the nice thing is that everyone who has helped pave the way for me for what level of success I've had today, everybody's involved in this book because it's all encompassing of things that I've been taught regarding hazmat, rope and rigging, RID operations, engine company operations. It's the soup, the nuts, everything that every officer or senior man or firefighters on the line have taught me in 25 years of volunteer and career experience. I love it because it's my way of, again, passing it on. It's so cliche, and everybody says, leave the fire service better than it was when you found it. Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to do because they did their part to make me better. My job now is to make other people better. And I can't take credit for it. They're not my ideas. They're things that I've been taught along the way. And I'm just sharing the method,
That sounds like a great idea and a great format. It definitely sounds unique. So we'll be looking for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
In the meantime, AB Turin, thanks for joining me today on Code 3.
Scott, I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And there is more about using roof hooks for rescue tools, including the article I mentioned, which has photos on our website, code3podcast.com/roofhook. One word, roof hook. It's worthwhile reading, so take a look. If you've learned something new about using a roof hook as a RIT tool, please tell another firefighter about this episode. If you're learning about this topic for the first time, odds are you know someone else who's not familiar with this technique. That's who needs to listen to this podcast. So spread the word. All right, that's it. That's all for this edition of Code 3. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next time with more, and I hope you'll join me. I'm Scott Warren. Until then, stay safe.
To contact us, get more information on today's show, or to subscribe to the podcast, go to code3podcast.com.